Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we have continued to talk about the disaster in Haiti, many of you have called, written, and Facebooked us asking for some more background on the country and its often tumultuous history. The textbook on Haiti, claimed by the Spanish and then turned over to the French, Haiti was attractive to the Western world originally for its gold mines and later for other resources like sugar, coffee, and indigo. It is the only independent nation in the world to be born from a slave revolt back in 1803, a fact that has resonated throughout the rest of its history. So let's see if we can fill in some of the other details on such a light sketch. Joining us now to try and help us get a grasp on the political, economic, and social history of Haiti is Tatiana Waugh, an assistant professor of urban studies at the New School, who just returned to New York from Haiti earlier this week. Tatiana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, Haiti 101, anything you always wanted to know about Haiti but had no one to ask, Tatiana Waugh is here. Other Haitian American listeners can chime in to any of these questions. But seriously, if you have become more curious about Haiti and want to know some of the political, economic, and social context, some of the history, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And first, since you're just back, since the earthquake, what were you doing in Haiti? What were you down there to do, or with who?
Well, I work as the Haiti Policy Program Director for the Earth Institute at Columbia University. I'm the policy advisor to the government of Haiti, and we're also trying to develop Millennium Villages for through UN system, rural integrated development projects in Haiti.
So, looking back at the history that I mentioned, the unique historical moment of being founded into freedom from colonialism through a slave revolt, do you think that that has affected either Haitian demographics or Haitian governmental history?
Certainly. I think certainly. Haiti is a 200-year-old world system problem that has needed serious attention. We do hope that this strategy would lend opportunities for its development. It has been at a crossroad between deprivation and absolute decline for a very long time, from its inception as an independent country.
And there was a time, a few hundred years ago, I guess, when Haiti was the prosperous and successful country on the island, and the Dominican Republic was the less so, right?
Certainly. It was called the Pearl of the Islands because the Spaniards didn't have any money to pursue any sort of development nor deal with its colony on that's called the Dominican Republic. And the French Haiti was the richest money crop for the French.
And I mentioned in the intro that it had gold mines as well as sugar and coffee and indigo. What happened to all that?
Cocoa. Because
cocoa, and what we always hear about Haiti now is how it is so resource poor.
Yeah, well, let's do a little bit of history. I think colonial powers has isolated the country for its first 100 years of existence, shutting out its ability to trade and conduct any social exchange.
There was an embargo on Haiti?
Yeah, well, even before that. I mean, the embargo started at the time that the country became independent. U.S. didn't recognize the country for the first 60 years. France saddled it with a huge debt that it couldn't repay, claiming damages from the revolution. This began the downward spiral of Haiti, as two-thirds of its population during that time, when it gained independence, were former slaves that had just come from all corners of sub-Saharan Africa. The first major feat for Haitians was to invent a language of their own. That took some time so that the different tribes could communicate, today's Haitian Creole. So between defending its independence, which you've mentioned correctly, it occupied the Dominican Republic to ward off foreign invasion of the entire island, helping other countries gain their freedom from Venezuela to Bolivia, and being isolated from these the colonial powers for the first 100 years, she had had no resources to educate its people, provide basic services, and least of all, spatially construct its territory, which consists of mostly rugged, high peak mountains, leaving Haiti today the least spatially developed country.
And of course, the United States felt threatened, or at least the South felt threatened by Haiti in the first half of the 1800s, after that 1803 slave revolt founded the country as the first black free nation in the Western Hemisphere, because of course, the U.S. was a slave-holding country, and they were afraid of some contagion there, so that helped inspire the U.S. to isolate it. But photos of Haiti, as recently as the 1960s, show that the island was heavily forested. And, of course, today we know it's an ecological deforested disaster.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah. I think left on its own to sustain itself, the peasantry, or Haitians, settled pell-mell across small communities, across the territory on mountaintops and by coastline, with no money given to agriculture, unlike every other developed country in the world where agriculture is subsidized. Agriculture is never subsidized in Haiti. Smallholder agriculture, dependent on itself, started cutting wood for every kinds of needs, energy needs, cooking needs, infrastructure needs, housing needs, just name it. So, and with the mountainous nature of the country and its susceptibility to natural disasters like hurricanes, it began a process of deforestation and erosion. But I have to remind the audience that this process of erosion, actually, which has left Haiti with less than 2% forest cover, had begun by the French. The French had begun cutting all of these trees to produce cocoa and coffee and sugarcane production. Coffee is all in the mountains. That sustained it for a little bit, but with other woods to be sent to back to France, the French actually started the process, which with slash and burn techniques, that traditional agriculture techniques that the peasantry still use today, has aggravated the situation.
Haiti 101 here on WNYC with Tatiana Wah. From the New School, just back from Haiti earlier this week. She's with the Columbia University Earth Institute as well, working on that Millennium Village, the Jeffrey Sachs project down there.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now to the phones. Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I very much agree with what your speaker said about the problem of Haitian history, but there's one thing that's usually omitted. When the enslaved, mostly African-born population attained independence, they recreated on Haiti a kind of traditional pre-modern, pre-capitalist, subsistence agricultural type of African economy, and that's part of the reason why it's been unviable at the beginning of the 19th century, for God's sakes. That's not usually mentioned, but it's a very big part of the problem of Haitian development, that kind of traditional pre-modern African culture that was recreated after independence contributed to Haitian underdevelopment. That's my comment.
Thank you. How accurate in your view, Professor Wah?
Well, parts of it is. It's a double-edged sword, because smallholder agriculture actually has helped Haitians sustain for that long, being isolated with no commerce, no trade, for as long as it has as a people. And he is correct in the sense that the huge plantations were totally destroyed by the former slaves. And huge plantation like production style is never something Haitians have accepted. So economic scale agriculture, plantation style, always reminded Haitians of slavery and is not a production, it's not a preferred way of producing agriculture.
Shelley in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question, actually, that relates to something that you had said a couple of days ago, Brian. And, of course, I can't remember the exact details, but you had been talking about, you had been asking, actually, about how Haitian infants are related to, how children are related to in infancy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was I was quoting from, and it is an interesting question to ask Professor Wah. I was quoting from the David Brooks column last Friday in the New York Times. Was that you going, Professor Wah?
Yes.
Where he was talking about culture, and that he was arguing that, voodoo culture tells people that they're, it's a religion that tells people that they're particularly powerless and hopeless, and that the parent-child patterns that the caller's referring to are a lot of neglect of children in the early years and then being too strict on them after about 9 or 10. So flesh out your and tell us your reaction.
That is total ignorance. Voodoo culture, voodoo religion is a religion like any other religion. It does not. How then do you explain 90% of all schools are privately run schools? Haitians believe in education of their children, but they also believe in strength and resilience starting from very young age, that one is supposed to carry their own weight from the very, very beginning. In terms of culture, more largely, culture is a situational phenomenon. If you have no libraries, if you have no school systems, if you have no theaters, usually subsidized by an elite, a rich elite, or government, how do you get your culture to be sophisticated? Haitian culture is live and well. It's full and rich of spirit. It's an educated population, for sure. 60% illiteracy, for sure. But we cannot equate culture, particularly when you enter into the religion mode, and then defeat a people for its lack of resources and call it a cultural deficiency. That's total ignorance.
Shelley, thank you for asking the question.
And thank you so much for remembering those points. I think they're very significant.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess we have to get into the politics on that point. And we talked about some of the 200-year-old politics, but people may know roughly that there were the dictators, Papa Doc and then Baby Doc, Duvalier ending in the 80s, and this kind of tortured history in the recent more democratic era with President Aristide and being deposed not once but twice, and President Preval and whether Aristide is behind him and all of that stuff. But we had the Haitian American singer and hip hop artist Praz Michel on the show on Monday from the Fugees, works closely with Wyclef Jean, and he actually called for a benign dictatorship. And I want to play a little bit of that clip.
And see, when you're dealing with people who've been oppressed, colonized, invaded, occupied for so long, you have to be a little bit more progressive with them when you set up a government system. That's what happened with DR. The president was a bit progressive. I call it, and people are going to get upset when I say this, but I call it more like a progressive dictator, right? Someone who progressively start off as a dictator, then you calm down, you get mild. Because with Haitians, you can't just go to Haiti and say, we're going to set up a system, because they're not going to follow it. You have to be very progressive with them, because they've been living, it's kind of like Somalia. I just came back from Somalia. You can't just go set up a democratic system in Somalia, because they don't know what that is.
So some pretty controversial comments from Praz Michel there.
But
he was comparing, and I don't expect you to endorse that necessarily, but he was comparing it to the Dominican Republic, where he says, or where some people say there was that kind of thing in the 70s with a dictator who started off very dictatorial and then calmed down and was progressive in the sense of not liberal progressive, but taking steps, a step and a step and a step toward empowering the people after he used his powers for economic development. What do you think of that take on Dominican history on the other part of the island?
Well, a strong state is always needed for development. I mean, this is the the lesson learned from all less developed countries that are now developed. They have all, whether you take Taiwan, whether you take Korea, they have all gone through strong state benevolent dictatorships. And so there is something to be said about the need for strong leadership and governance to go towards the development, only because you do have to instruct a lot of folks, because there is a lot of ignorance and lack of resources that exist, and so you have to direct the resources where they need to be directed. Furthermore, democracy, the way the Western world perceives democracy, is very costly for a place like Haiti. Democracy and the way in which they, to abide by the Haitian Constitution as of now, we spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on democracy that, if it is to be represented, reflects illiteracy, because that is the majority of our people. So there is something to be said with the need for strong developmentalist leadership that Haiti has lacked, a developmentalist leader. We have not had that since the inception.
Joelle in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joelle.
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I wanted to find out the history in terms of the Dominican Republic kinship with Haiti. And I think it was the 1800s that they had like a ethnic cleansing where all of the so-called darkies was chased over on the other side of the island, which would be Haiti today, and more of the mulattoes stayed on the other side.
Thank you. And do you know about anything along those lines? Certainly people will wonder, if this is a relatively small island, Hispaniola divided by Dominican Republic and Haiti divided between them, why is one almost 100% black and the other not at all? Almost not at all.
The other one is relatively black. They just don't want to call themselves black. It's very interesting. Haiti had occupied it for a good 30 years in the 19th century, starting with also Trujillo, with the gentleman who's right. There was a huge massacre to give Haitians a lesson not to cross over the border. And also Dominican identity and their identity card for a very long time said Indio. Everybody was Indian. So to differentiate themselves from Haitians who were purportedly black, and they mulatto or Indios. There is a racial strife that has existed between the two sides for a very long time, and perpetuated also by external forces.
We're just about out of time, and I said this was Haiti 101, which means it's not a whole major. And, of course, we just started down the road to understanding some of the history and some of the social and cultural and economic and political context. You also consult with the Prevel government there, is that correct?
Yes, we haven't been able to communicate, though, for a very long time since I got here. But yes, I do.
So just tell us as you go, and maybe we'll come back and do Haiti 102 one of these days. But what are you hoping for that government to do now in terms of reconstituting itself with everything in ruins for the most beneficial future for the Haitian people?
Well, we're hoping that the UN helps the government put together a strong crisis team and a high commission for reconstruction that should be comprised of professional and competent Haitians from inside Haiti and the diaspora, people who are known for their integrity and honesty, their devotion to public service, and to help guide the Haitian government right now. It needs to get its authority and credibility back, because all the state institutions, all the buildings, the state buildings have crushed. They're operating in a very small, very, very low capacity to none, I would say. And so they need help to guide them and support them in a very strong way, and to help reestablish Haitian leadership, and particularly to rebuild the trust and solidarity without which the nation cannot exist. And so, you know, I'm hoping that, the national scale spatial economic development planning that needs to be taken, because it has to go beyond the recovery relief. Haiti is a country that needs to be built, not merely rebuilt or reconstructed. This is a long-term process, and the government is too weak at this particular point, and almost not credible, that it needs to be shored up by a strong team for reconstruction to help it through the mess, supported hopefully by the United Nations, financially and technically.
Tatiana Wah, who works with the Earth Institute in Haiti and is a professor of urban studies at the New School, just back from her latest time in Haiti earlier this week. Thank you very much for coming on and doing some Haiti 101 with us.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Very
good to be here.
Informative for many, many of our listeners. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Okay, listeners, one question quiz as we bring in the New York City Parks Commissioner, Adrian Benepe, as our next guest. Can you name the four largest parks in New York City? Call us right now if you can answer that question. What are the four largest parks by area in New York City? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Excuse me. Who knows the answer? We'll reveal it with Adrian Benepe. And one of you, hopefully, will reveal it on the phone coming up in a minute.